The Board of Governors approved the plan of expansion that will bring a National Hockey League franchise to Las Vegas, beginning with the 2017-18 season. In the fall of 2017, when we celebrate the 100th birthday of the National Hockey League, we will do so as a league of 31 teams.
Welcome back to an abbreviated edition, but a very special edition of Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690. Thanks to Larry King for spending the last half hour with us, along with Mitch Gallo and Jay Farrar in for Rod Francis. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock. That was Gary Bettman in Vegas today, announcing what everybody kind of knew already, making it official just ahead of NHL Awards night in Vegas.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood Salada Dag. All the freshly sliced ingredients of any Dagwood sandwich wrapped in crispy lettuce. It's a breadless sandwich, and it's really tasty.
Good afternoon, Pierre. Welcome home. How you doing?
I'm good, and I apologize for yesterday. I was trying to fight Mother Nature and gas taxes and NASA on the Bahamas and all kinds of things. We left at 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and we were home by 10:10 last night. So I could have gone to Stockholm, really. Should have gone scouting.
Yeah, you don't often hear NASA and bad weather in the same sentence.
No. Anyway, stuff happens, and we got home safe and sound, but I'm sorry I missed the show.
That's okay. We understand, and Pierre LeBrun was good enough to change time slots, and here we go. Now it's official. Now that it is, tell our listeners who may have discovered him when this started, this campaign for Vegas started, and maybe had forgotten a little bit about who Bill Foley is.
Well, he's a very intelligent man. He's moved most of his holdings from Florida to Nevada, so he's not going to be an absentee owner. He's got a tremendous relationship with Murray Craven, a player that played in the NHL for a substantial amount of time with Philadelphia, with Hartford, and with Vancouver. I had the privilege of coaching Murray. I think one of the things that's really important is he is very calculating, very focused, put together an amazing drive to get the 14,000 season ticket holders, and the biggest thing is there's a lot of energy around their product, and I think a big reason why he's not going to be an absentee owner.
Now, you mentioned Murray Craven's name. It's interesting that ESPN reported that Foley told, actually it was Scott Burnside of ESPN, that he already has resumes for his GM job from 7 current assistant GMs and 3 to 4 former general managers.
Oh, there'll be no shortage of people looking for a job anytime there's a GM's position. There'll be a ton of people putting their resumes in, but as I've told you a million times over, you can send your resume in. That's not going to get you in the door. You're going to have to hope that somebody's going to speak on your behalf, whether it's at the Board of Governors level or at the ownership level or at the, you know, recommendation level from manager to manager or president to president or owner to owner. That's how you get those jobs. And it's not going to be easy for anybody to get that job because they're going to have a very significant search, I have to believe.
So Murray Craven, is he a possible GM or is he higher up? Is he more...
I think he's higher up in the whole thing. I mean, again, Murray's very he was a very smart player. I also think he's extremely calculated in terms of what he does. The one thing is I know a bunch of people that he's talked to already. It'll be interesting. I'd be surprised if he were going to be the manager. I think he's a higher up.
All right, Pierre, we'll get to Quebec City specifically in a second, but if somebody said to you, we know actually how you feel about Quebec City and how you felt for years.
Yep.
Somebody said Winnipeg a few years ago, and people would say, well, regardless of the politics and the business, in terms of the passion in that city for the National Hockey League, there's no debate. There's no debate. You put an NHL team in Winnipeg, there people are going to come out and support it. You put an NHL team in Quebec, again, forgetting the politics, people are going to support it. Put an NHL team in Vegas, are people going to support it? That's the big question.
I think so. I really do. It's a vibrant marketplace. I think there's a lot to this whole thing. Gary Bettman would not put a team in there, I firmly believe, if he didn't think it was going to be very successful, number one. And number two, I think he's very well aware of the ownership possibility that he has, or now the owner that he does have in Bill Foley. So I do think it's going to work. I think it's going to work really well. Their TV numbers nationally, and you can go look at them, have been very, very strong over the last 6 or 7 years. So there's a passion for the sport there. And I think there's a lot of natural geographic rivals that will only help them, won't hurt them.
So you don't have the concern that a lot of people seemingly do have about the built-in hockey base, that the people you're trying to attract are too busy doing something else?
No, you know, Mitch, it's funny because I was made aware of this, and I think I shared this with you, I don't know publicly, but I think privately, about 5 years ago, that this was part of the plan, the long-term strategic planning of the league. And I had heard it from a pretty significant owner in the league who says, take it to the bank, they're going to have a team there. So I knew a long time ago that this had a real opportunity to happen. And I think one of the things they wanted to make sure is that they got the right owner, that they had the right fit, that they got the right building. And I think they have all those things. It breaks my heart there's not a team being announced for Quebec. I'll be totally frank with you. I mean, that market deserves a team.
Gary Bettman spoke and made this official a couple of hours ago. He did talk about Quebec and everything about their bid. They were impressed by, but
the decision to defer, however, was based on elements over which the Quebec City group had no control whatsoever. Significantly, the fluctuation of the Canadian dollar throughout the process, including its decline to a low of 68 cents earlier this year, was a factor. In considering both applications for expansion, it was a priority of the board to create conditions that would place an incoming club or clubs in the best position to accede on an expedited basis. Unfortunately, the state and volatility of the Canadian dollar undermined the achievement of that objective relative to the Quebec City bid.
Brian Mulroney kind of let the cat out of the bag a couple of weeks ago when he talked about how he was not optimistic at all, and he specifically mentioned the factor involving the Canadian dollar. Yep. Is there any doubt in your mind that the NHL will at some point return to Quebec?
Well, in my mind, no, but I wish I had more power to say I'm 100% right and I'm going to get this one right on the nail, but I can't say that because I don't know. But what I would say is this, is that the marketplace can more than sustain itself if the Canadian dollar is close to being at par. And I've shared this with you a million times. That's the biggest issue. That didn't surprise me when I heard about it a while ago. I kind of felt that they weren't going to get it just because of that. But I do think, much like what Winnipeg's been able to do, if you make it a regional team rather than just a city team, which I think they would be able to do, I think it could work unbelievably well. And that's the one thing I would say. They've done it in Minnesota after losing a team to Dallas. They've done it in Minnesota very well. They've done it in Winnipeg very well after losing a team to Phoenix. And I think that they'll be able to do it in Quebec at some point, even though they lost their team to Colorado.
All right. The big story of the day in hockey is Vegas.
Milan.
Pardon me?
Milan Lucic.
Well, I was going there next. Oh. Yes, I want to get specific to the players.
Okay.
But before we get to Lucic, Pierre LeBrun set up a firestorm on Twitter today. Let me read you everything he wrote. Hearing the volume of calls has increased significantly for the Habs from other teams re-PK Subban in the last 48 hours. What that means: Canadians are not shopping Subban, but other teams are indeed calling, and more frequently as July 1 approaches. Is there really a deal that would make Marc Bergevin blink? Pretty hard to replace a player like Subban, but some teams desperate for a top D. Again, not suggesting the Habs will trade him, just relaying the teams are calling more frequently now that July 1st no move is closer.
I think somebody put that out there for Pierre LeBrun, so that he has it, and it's not his fault. He's reporting what somebody put out there to put pressure on Marc Bergevin. Listen, guys that are doing that insider job, they have a core group of maybe 3 to 5 GMs that really trust them, and they trust those GMs. And sometimes you specifically pick a person to put that information out to so that it puts the opposition manager in a real fix. And it puts him under the microscope, and it kind of deflects from you and puts it on him. And that's, I really believe, when that stuff comes out at this time with pressure points in terms of time and dates, that tells me that there's a bunch of teams interested, but people are trying to squeeze Marc Bergevin right now. And I think he's probably aware of that.
Do you think he'll blink? Do you think there's a team out there or teams out there that can actually put together an attractive enough package that would entice Mark Bergevin to do this, while at the same time somehow, some way, replacing the 30 minutes a night that Subban gives
it
them?
It depends on what Montreal wants as compensation, what their end game is. If their end game is to try to rebuild on the fly, sensing what's going on with teams around them, like Buffalo, like Toronto, like Carolina, then, I think that there's probably a deal out there. But again, you have to establish what you feel the price point is. Now, again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody here, but part of why I think PK has now become potentially, and I stress the word potentially, expendable in Montreal is because they signed him to a bridge contract, which they never should have done. They should have known internally how good he was and got him signed at a digestible 5x5 or 5x5.5 rather than doing this almost $10 million a year deal. This is what has put this in such a freaking mess.
Yeah.
Mitch, remember the day they did it? What I said?
Oh, I know. Yeah. Pierre was quite adamant about it.
It was lunacy. It was naivete beyond belief.
So if you're a hardcore Canadiens fan who loves PK Subban and everything he brings to the team on the ice and the National Hockey League off the ice, including tonight in Vegas, you are insecure hearing this today, but piled on top of the fact that Michel Therrien, when he took over, said we want our players to be humble. And outlawed the triple low five celebration that he had, that the bridge contract situation that you just described, that there were more than rumblings that perhaps before he even started as a general manager of the Canadiens, Mark Bergevin may have tried to trade him at the draft the year they got Galchenyuk, and all of the chatter last year of somebody suggesting to Ron Fournier and others that PK Subban was an issue. I mean, where there's smoke, that's a lot of smoke, don't you think?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of smoke. There's no question. There's a lot of smoke. I totally agree with you. Everything you just said is well-founded, documented, and probably right on the mark from everybody involved. So, if you're going to do this, you better make sure you are getting the right amount of compensation and that you are getting the right players, because you may make deals like this, and if they don't work, you're done. You are absolutely done as a management team. So you better know exactly what you're doing.
And when you say rebuild on the fly, I know where you're coming from, but I don't know if this guy wants to hear that.
Well, it definitely wasn't the position that I had foreseen myself being in at the start of the year. But, I think we learned a lot of valuable lessons this past year.
Carey Price telling Gino Reda yesterday, Pierre, he's 100% in terms of his rehab and ready to go, he believes, for the World Cup and the next NHL season.
I agree. Everything I've heard has been more than positive. I haven't heard anything negative from different people around the league and obviously people close to the Canadiens. So I haven't heard anything negative at all about Carey and where he is. So that's great news. That's really good news. Remember what I said to you down the stretch? I didn't think it was appropriate for him to play.
Right.
Because you're gaining nothing. You need to get him 100% healthy. Playing those throwaway games meant nothing to him. Zero. Nothing and nothing for the team. So now you see that the byproduct is he gets himself healthy, which is great news. That's really positive news going into this week.
And on those new streamlined goalie pads?
I got a pretty big butt, so I'm not too worried about my pant size.
So I'm glad he said it, because that's the one thing that's been out there around the league for a long time, that his pants are much bigger than his body frame. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and he's not alone. There's material hanging loose,
gosh,
right?
He's not, by far not alone, but he is one of the premier players in the league. So when you're one of those guys, you're always going to be scrutinized. Patrick Roy was scrutinized forever. All the time he was scrutinized, even by his own goalies. I remember Marty Brodeur, I forget what newspaper he was doing a column in.
The Journal de Montréal.
And I remember him going after other goalies, but in particular he went after Patrick Roy, and he went after guys with the big catching gloves. But I can tell you there are teams out there that think Carey's pants are far too big.
Okay. Now to Milan Lucic. It's official. He let it be known this afternoon that he is going unrestricted free agency. Couldn't come to terms with the Kings on a new deal. What do you think of this, and where does he end up?
Well, Peter Chiarelli will be on this hard. He's already gotten, I don't know if you're aware of this, you may probably be just because you guys are so plugged in, but he's already gotten permission from his general manager to talk to all 29 other teams in the league. So people didn't even have to trade for his rights to get permission to talk to him, which is unbelievable, I really believe. But I have to think Edmonton's on this really hard. Peter Chiarelli obviously knows his body of work. I have to think Vancouver because he's from there, and Jim Benning was part of the group that had him in Boston and won a Stanley Cup with him. I have to think they're going to be hard on him. But I can tell you, going back to earlier this year when I was in Los Angeles, and I had a long talk with Milan about a lot of different things, not just hockey, but, you know, his father's just passed. I didn't get the feeling that he was that warm to going back to Vancouver. Now, he didn't say that, but I just didn't get that feeling that he was that warm to go back there.
Mitch.
Piero, what about the deal that Alex Goligoski got today with Arizona? 5 years, $27
million. Yep. Well, that's right in the wheelhouse. That's about what we thought, right, Mitch? I said I wouldn't make him a $6 million a year player, and I'd have a hard time going over five, but I kind of felt that it was going to be somewhere between $4.5 and $5.5 million. So it's about right where I thought it would be. But the thing is, it's not a 7-year deal. It's a 5-year deal. I think that's positive for their team, and it gives them very good puck moving defenseman. But again, it's, you know, you're going to see that in the playoffs, the puck moving is great, but how sturdy is he going to be when people really come after him in the playoffs?
Maybe a guy like Lucic. So let me go back to Lucic. If you're an NHL GM right now,
yes, I would.
Okay, what? Give me your ballpark figure.
See, he's going to want. Here's the one thing, and I say this again. This is to stress the respect I have for this man because I saw him do something amazing that will always stand out in my mind. The 07 Super Series over in Russia, and then 4 games in Canada and 4 games in Russia. And let me tell you, the 4 games in Russia, some of the areas weren't that attractive. It was a tough go, and I was with those guys the whole time. I think we were over there 17 days. That guy was the most amazing leader of young men I ever saw at that age. Peer pressure personified, but in a healthy, positive, really professional way. I was blown away by how he handled himself and the type of man that he was, even back then, going back to 07. And then, you know, getting to know him as he turned pro and watching him grow as a professional player and winning a cup and playing in another cup final and having some huge years. The problem is that I think he knows this is probably his last big contract, so he's going to want it to be for as much money as it can be and for as long a term as it can be. So knowing that as a manager trying to negotiate the deal, I'm probably going to give him 6 years. He's going to want 7, but I'm probably going to give him 6. And he's probably going to want over $6 million a year, and I'm going to want to give him probably closer to $5 million a year. So that's kind of where the negotiation is going to have to be.
If you were the general manager of the Anaheim Ducks or any team in the NHL, would you have signed Ilya Bryzgalov?
No.
How bizarre is this?
Well, again, if you're familiar with the player and the person, then you probably have a little bit more information than those of us that are not nearly as familiar with him. He's a different cat. I can tell you that right now. He's as different as any guy I've seen in the last 20 years in the league. So, I mean, you got to know him, and I just don't know him well enough to be that comfortable.
All right, and there's a lot of speculation that Brian Campbell may end up back in Chicago. Well, did you see that?
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day, I believe, weren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, so, no, that wouldn't surprise me. The Trevor Daley thing didn't go great, obviously, for him, and then they brought in Scuderi, and that didn't go great, and then they ended up bringing in David Rundblad after they shipped him off to Switzerland. That didn't go great. So Eric Gustafson, they tried him. That didn't go great. They need – the thing is, it's no secret. When they had Nick Leddy and they had Johnny Oduya and they had Duncan Keith, they had the most mobile left defense in the National Hockey League. There was not even anybody close to that. And it was a huge part of how they broke the puck out of their own zone, and people couldn't forecheck them. So that's why they didn't spend a lot of time in their own zone. That's part of the reason why they won 2 cups with those guys that were there, and then, you know, a third without Leddy being there. But, no, they need somebody like that, so it wouldn't surprise me. And Campbell fits in great on the left side.
Michael Keaton, noted actor, is going to present the Hart Trophy. That's right. Hart Trophy for the most valuable player. He's going to give it to Patrick Kane tonight, you think?
I would say.
How about the nugget that the Chicago Blackhawks requested, and Kane said, okay, you guys want me to do it, I'll do it. He's staying in Chicago this summer. He's not going home to Buffalo.
Well, again, there's a lot of reasons for that. I think everybody's aware of that. But the biggest thing is that they went out in the first round. And I think they all understand they've got something really special there. If they can win a fourth cup in 8 years, that would be amazing. You look at it, that they're an amazing group. They understand that. They were obviously all disappointed, and they want to be the best they can be next year.
We will be traveling to Buffalo tomorrow. Pierre, looking forward to seeing you Friday on the draft floor in Buffalo, New York.
What time do you arrive tomorrow?
Hopefully by mid-afternoon.
Okay, well, here's the deal. You have my cell number.
Yes.
I will be meeting with a few managers tomorrow afternoon, but...
I'll hang out with you while you meet with those managers.
I'd love to have you.
Yeah, I'll sit in on those meetings.
Are you doing the show live tomorrow or no?
No, Connor's doing the show from here.
Oh, from there? Okay.
And then we're doing it Friday.
Connor tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. So, well, I'll be looking for you. And are you, what hotel are you at, the Hyatt?
We are not at the Hyatt.
You are not?
No. Okay. We are probably at a hotel that is probably, what, 3 stars lower than the Hyatt.